I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Hey guys, just so you know, there is some skips in the audio of today's episode that we could not avoid. It shouldn't get in the way too much, but it does pop up here and there. I tried to edit some of them out. But that's technology's fault for you. And yeah, hopefully it won't bother you too much. And so here's the show. Hello, welcome to episode 298 of See You Next Wednesday, a weekly pop culture and film podcast where a single die roll decides what movies we have to see. This episode drops on Wednesday, January 10th, 2018, and my name is Dan Gorman. We had a deal. Your sisters don't come here after six, and I stop eating your lipstick.
My name is Casey Lyons, and just because I missed the Christmas one, I've got a real painful burr on my heel, and if you rub it for me, I'll give you a quarter. I'll give Audrey a quarter, too. Audrey!
My name is Greg LeGros, and Jesus Christ, Powell! He could be a fucking bartender for all we know!
We have
There's
tons...
my Christmas one, too.
Lots to talk about this week. We are going to talk about The Last Jedi. We have two Christmas punishment films to circle back on and a punishment album. Lots to talk about from our break. Reunited, and it feels so good. Please go to modernsuperior.com and support the network. There are lots of other shows there. I suggest you go listen to the Death Watch episode about Carrie Fisher. It is a wonderful listen. Please click on the Patreon button if you'd like access to our Slack and bonus content. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at SYNWPC, or you can send us emails with your fingers on your keyboard to info@modernsuperior.com. And what's up?
I don't know. It's been a while.
It's been so long.
It's weird. I feel weird.
I haven't seen you in a long time.
Yeah. We've never taken time away.
Yeah, it was the longest, I think, ever.
This was,
ever.
And, yeah, it was, a lot of it
was almost
my,
a month, I think.
My fault, and I do apologize.
Yeah. That was okay.
Yeah, you're to blame for Christmas.
Yes.
Yeah. And Christmas and me
fault.
Getting sick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. That was my fault, too.
You sent me to Jamaica.
Yeah.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah.
Boy, I'm a real dick to some people and really nice to others.
Yeah.
You're going to Jamaica.
Yeah. You will be sick.
You will barf several
yeah.
times.
With a strain that has been brewing in five children. It was the worst.
Wait.
My sister has five kids. They all were sick, passing it around to each other, then passing it to the adults, who then coughed on all of us that were in Peterborough. And then
was
everything...
this some sort of game your family
yeah,
plays?
It was wonderful.
It and sounds then... organized.
And then Christmas was canceled, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Canceled.
Yeah. So, there you go.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm. Wicked.
Yeah. See you guys next week.
Yeah. Yep. Bye. Sweet. So we have tons of stuff to talk about. New news and movies we've been watching, and more. How do you guys, what do you guys want to talk about? Is there
anything
off the top?
I don't know.
I don't know what happened in the news anymore.
Yeah. I tried to find
I haven't
stuff.
Been in society for, for ages.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was looking at the news being like, what it has happened, you know, that we can talk about notable, but I didn't see that much.
I don't think a lot really did, because everything's been, you know, all the other, like, the real news of Hollywood. Not,
fun
upcoming
movie
stuff.
News. Yeah. Just everybody is a piece of
Everything's
shit.
Everything's terrible,
yeah.
Did you guys watch the Golden Globes?
I did.
I actually did.
Yeah. Oh, I usually do and you guys don't, and this year I did not.
Well, that's oh, you didn't?
No, I forgot they were on.
Yeah. Well, the new place that we moved into just has cable.
Oh, sweet. Neat.
So, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to really watch that much. Man, I watch so much cable.
Yeah.
I just watch so much Simpsons now, which is really great.
Yeah.
Because I get home and then it's on for like 2 hours straight on FX, and that is fucking dope. So I sweet. Just like sit there. And also the kids love it.
Oh, good.
Like the kids will just sit there and watch the Simpsons with me, and I'm like, I'm a good father.
That's awesome.
So I was like, oh, shit, we could watch the Golden Globes. And normally I'm like, fuck this shit. But I was like, you know what? It'll be fine. We'll watch it.
I watched Seth Meyers' opening monologue. I thought it was pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
I like him a lot.
I missed that. But
you should watch it. It's
it was
great.
I think we tuned in, like, at the tail end of the monologue.
Right.
But it was one of those things like, oh, yeah, that's on, and we had just watched a movie, and we didn't know what to put on next. We were like, let's just find a stream and watch that, I guess.
Right.
So we ended up watching that. What did you guys think
of the Golden Globes?
It
really did just cement for me the fact that I like watching the little bits, the monologue, and then the funny little things here and there, of which there are few. But otherwise, I don't give a fuck at all.
Yeah.
I was glad Alice and Janney won. Other than that, I don't care. Because I didn't watch a lot of the movies either. I haven't seen a lot of them.
Right.
What'd you think of Oprah?
Who gives a fuck? I mean, she was Oprah.
Yeah.
You know, it was
I thought it was wonderful.
Fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, it was a great speech.
And the thing about Oprah is the way she talks, it's like it was this kind of call for change kind of thing that everybody in their own way has been kind of, doing. And you know, it's an important thing to say. But when Oprah says it, you kind of go, it's a little bit deeper.
Yeah.
It's
I got to get my shit together. I guess we're going.
Oprah said what? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
totally.
Just, I mean, I love, was it Seth Meyers who made the joke about her and Tom Hanks running together?
Right.
For the presidency? Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a fair time watching it. And I liked a lot of the sentiment of the show. And I didn't think too much. I was kind of like a little bit bummed that Lady Bird wasn't also nominated for director.
Oh,
which
that
felt
was
weird to me because it was nominated for musical or comedy, but not for director. And I kind of felt like
that was a really cool moment.
Yeah.
I think my favorite moment was actually when they were announcing best director or something. Natalie Portman was one of the presenters.
Yeah.
And she said, here now is the list of, here now is the all-male list of best director. She was, and Ron Howard was with her and he went,
He laughed. Yeah.
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 There you go.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Golden Globes.
Yeah, that's a really a huge bummer when you have the highest grossing film of the year was directed by a woman.
Yeah.
And the most well reviewed movie of the year was directed by a woman.
Totally. It's like,
but
you
know,
they
gave Mel Gibson a nod last year.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's all good.
Yeah.
That's the same.
Yeah.
Fuck. All right. Well,
totally.
Baby steps.
Hollywood loves a story of redemption.
Did you guys see that commercial for, like, I think it was for makeup that Winona Ryder was in? And they showed it a bunch of times.
No.
And it was like this really serious looking commercial. And then it's her getting ready to go out on stage, but you don't see who it is. And then at the end of the commercial, it's like a reveal that it's Winona Ryder, and it's like everyone loves a comeback story or something.
Did she do that weird little thing she did in the Globes last year?
I wish, because I love those gifts.
I thought that would be
the greatest commercial.
Yeah.
Whatever product that did that, I would endorse them.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I would start wearing makeup just to support.
But it was totally weird. It was like, I don't know. It was just kind of weird, like, oh, you got a comeback story. It just kind of felt weird that they were, like, using the narrative of, like, she was gone and now she's back. And it's kind of like, I don't know. She, like, the comeback story was that she's now in some pretty cool stuff.
Yeah.
Not
she
whatever
wasn't
this.
Gone that long. Yeah. It's not like we're like, where is Winona Ryder?
And she was only gone because she shoplifted, and everyone was like, get out of Hollywood, shoplifter.
That's what does it.
Get back in Hollywood, you racist shitheads.
Yeah. You're giving all of us awful people a bad name. Yeah. So there you go. Pretty fun to watch.
Yeah. There were some things. I mean, I certainly fell asleep at some point. But,
Definitely. What about things that we've been watching?
Yeah,
other than Golden
Globes? Maybe that, because I can't think of any news, literally.
Yeah.
That's really worth getting into.
Yeah. You had watched a movie previously on our show.
Me?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And we should talk about it.
Oh.
A little bit.
Great.
Because I watched it.
Oh.
So you, I think you picked it for a winning choice film. Brawl in Cell Block.
Oh, neat.
99.
Yes, let's talk about that.
Which is the Craig Zoller? How do you say his name? Zeller.
Craig Zoller.
Craig Zoller.
Of Bone Tomahawk previously.
Yep.
Yeah. And
you haven't seen that yet?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
This is my first of his films.
Right.
And you had mentioned like that you weren't sure about certain things about it, and that it was kind of conflicting viewing, or that like there was things that you liked about it and things that you didn't.
Right.
Yes. Right.
Yes. And it was a little longer than it needed to be, and a lot of maybe unnecessary exposition, but that kind of needed it to be there to keep from just being a
I feel like I'm similar to where you are, mate, but maybe even a little, the more I think of it, maybe more negative.
Right. The more I think of it, the more positive I get about it. Like, I thought about it for weeks after it, and I was like, man, I really liked that, like, a lot.
Yeah.
And of movies I saw this year, a few of them kept me working on them as long as this one did. So it's definitely on my list for the end of the year.
And it's really watchable.
Yeah.
Like,
and
I
has these moments of like, whoa.
Yeah. I was never bored.
No.
As long as it is.
Vince Vaughn.
He's very good in it.
Yeah.
He's actually really great in it. And the whole cast is really great in it.
Yes.
I felt like, I understand what you mean. Like, you think, okay, this movie's really long, but then you're like, but this is one of those movies where, like, you have to drag it out for it to be...
To have it... Because it has an atmosphere that it really lives in. It has a total vibe to it. And I really do want to watch it again. My opinion will change. But my constant thinking about it has made it really rise up in my ranks on the year.
I felt like some of the violence was maybe the weirdest part about the tone of the film, because...
Totally.
It's
a confusing movie.
There's a face scrape.
Yeah.
And it's like really gnarly, but then they reveal it and it's like really Looney Tunes.
Totally.
It's like all of a sudden there's like this really, really white, like cartoon bone skull.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's so silly.
That's not possible. But I was like, woo!
Yeah.
Get that guy's face off of there. I'm sick of it.
So,
There's a great moment in Piranha 3D, the first Piranha movie, where a face gets ripped off and there's a funny skeleton underneath.
Yeah.
That is exactly what I'm picturing.
You're not far off.
You're not that far,
And
I'm going to love this movie.
Not enough movies have that in it.
Yeah.
I liked that about it so much. This is the thing that, like, spending time with it afterwards, where I'm like, this was kind of like a character piece drama, but then would do these things that were total... You know, B movie gore fest massacre shit that was so like crazy to have jump into a movie, and it was so explosive every time they did it. But it did this great job of like myth building for me, where I like really by the end of the movie, I'm like, yes, this guy is can do this, you know,
definitely. I was a little confused about with the tone of it again, like they were going. It felt like they were going for like. With all the soul music they were using, I was like, this is like kind of like they're doing. I was kind of conflicted, like, oh, are they doing like a blaxploitation prison epic thing, but with like a like patriotic American guy? And I was kind of conflicted about that.
Yeah.
But then once
but
in a while.
Not really doing that.
But then once in a while, they're like, but also we have the like John Carpenter synth in this scene or that scene. And I was like, well, I don't understand how these like are playing together. It just didn't feel like. it was working. But again, like, yeah, it was conflicted, but it was certainly watchable at a certain level. And everyone's really good in it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was very like, I don't know how I landed on this.
No, that movie is just like, yeah, check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, you think about this.
Yeah. So I can't say don't watch Cell Block.
I would say definitely watch Cell Block because you will take things away from it that you really like. And if you don't like the rest, you'll think about it for a while.
Yeah.
It's a good
and there's some really funny parts too.
There are very funny parts.
So yeah, I checked it out,
and it's I think probably the best performance of his career, even
probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
What else did you watch? Anything, Casey?
I watched two things.
Mm-hmm.
One of which was I watched the film Battle of the Sexes.
Okay. Oh, I too viewed that film.
Ah, what did you think of that film?
I had heard kind of mixed reviews about it. Mm-hmm. That it was kind of like, eh. Mm-hmm. So I kind of went in like, I like the actors. I'll have a nice tennis time with this movie.
Yeah, have a nice tennis time.
But I quite liked it.
Some people were like, eh, but I was like. Yeah.
Like, I had a great time. I thought they were wonderful in it.
Yeah.
It's a super interesting story.
It really is. It's much less about what I thought it was about and much more about a conflicted lesbian.
Yeah.
Like, it's much more about her sexuality.
Yeah, it's mostly
than it is
about.
Yeah. And I was like... and I think that's probably what threw people off because it was like... I thought this was about the craziness of
they're like
the
back
battle
and
of
forth,
the sexes kind of thing. But it starts out like, you know, with all of the horrible misogyny in professional sports, and like it's going to be about that, and then it completely diverts. Well, not completely, but then it diverts into this like story of somebody finding themselves, which. Is a great story.
Absolutely.
Like, it's actually a very watchable story. And Emma Stone is wonderful.
Really good.
In it.
Yeah.
And then at the end, it bookends the movie with the Battle of the Sexes, like with the actual event. But then in the middle, it's just all about this lady, discovering herself.
Yeah. Which I thought was great. And Steve Carell was just terrific in it.
Steve Carell was fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, he is a very good actor.
He really is. It's crazy.
I enjoyed the direction. I liked all the supporting cast. It's a very good movie.
It's really great.
A very satisfying watch. And I just felt good afterwards, you know? Just like it ended and I'm like, great.
And it just made you really go like, oh, it's just these people living their lives for a little while and then they learn things about themselves that and they didn't, you know, end misogyny or and they did, but they did a thing and this is what happened
well things get chipped away at, you know,
like, exactly like it felt like things are a little bit better now
and when you consider like how bad they were because they were really bad still not good
fuck
but,
you Bill Pullman
yeah Bill Pullman I thought Bill Pullman was great.
He was great.
Thina and I were both like, wow, good work Bill Pullman, because he's frequently the most boring actor I've ever seen in my life.
I occasionally absolutely love Bill Pullman.
Yeah, totally.
He was great in Spaceballs. He was great, and that's not a good movie. He was great in what was that? Absolute Zero or Zero Face?
Oh, the kind of I know
with
what you're
Ben
about.
Stiller.
Yeah.
And that's
wow,
not a
I forgot
movie
about that
either.
Movie.
Oh, yeah, that's a good movie. Mm-hmm. Zero Effect.
Yeah, Zero Effect.
Yeah, that's a cool movie.
Yeah. He was great in that. So, yeah, and in this too.
And I think he played a good dick.
Mm-hmm.
Which was kind of interesting because usually he can be very sort of flat, right? That's sort of the thing I don't like about Bill Pullman. It's a little too like, well, gee whiz.
Yeah.
But him playing like someone with some pointed nastiness inside them, it was really good.
Him and Tom Kenny, who has like two lines in the scene, but they're just sitting in these club chairs being like this gross boys club. And like, I thought that scene was really effective of like, oh yeah, these people are gross. That was pretty good.
Yeah. No, I quite liked it. It was a very pleasant surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
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 How about me, you say?
Yeah, you.
Me?
How about me, you say?
I watched a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
One that we will be saving for next week.
Yeah.
So we'll build up some tension there.
Secrets.
So I will go really quickly on two movies that I watched that you guys may have seen some of these. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
Did either of you catch I, Tonya? Tanya? I, Tanya? Tonya, Tanya?
I had no idea what was going on there for a second.
Hey, I, Tony.
Yeah, Tonya. I saw I, Tanya.
I, Tanya? Yeah.
But yes, I did see I, Tanya.
Yes.
Oh, I did not see. I didn't know it was seeable.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
I watched it.
Uh-huh. How is that?
I, Tanya. Mm-hmm. Great movie.
I, Tanya, more like I loved it.
Yeah. I liked it a lot. It's a great movie.
I actually just liked it.
Yeah. It's good.
It's great. It's a good movie with phenomenal performances.
Amazing performances. Yeah, it is one of those movies that, you know, it's really good.
Yeah.
And it's like the direction's good. Like everything about it is very good.
The direction's fine.
Who directed it? Anybody?
It was me.
Oh.
Craig Gillespie.
Yes.
And he has a strange career. Well, not strange, but like, oh.
Lars and the Real Girl.
Yeah.
The Fright Night remake.
Mm,
wonderful.
Okay.
Yeah. Those are two great movies.
Well, Million Dollar Arm. Didn't see it.
Oh, see,
what, Finest Hours.
Mm. Yeah, Finest Hours, which is apparently
Yeah, Million Dollar
Arm. Oh.
But
you can kind of understand how a director like that gets to this kind of a movie because it's like, I can make these kind of crowd-pleasing movies, and now I'm going to, you know, try and infuse a little bit of grit or, like, I don't know, like...
Which would have been great if they had just left it as is.
Yeah.
Like, it just uses too many devices that make it, that kind of cheapen it a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be a kind of a tawdry movie based on a tawdry event kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so it's supposed to parallel that with the filmmaking. But it really does this multiple people just in the middle of scenes just talking to the camera. And it's like, all right. Stop
and
it.
But they don't do it like a ton. They do it like a couple times, and it's one of those things where you're like, I understand what you're saying, Casey. There is almost kind of a, well, either go all the way with it or just don't do it. I can understand
there's
that
a couple of moments where that are real and you're like, oh, like that is striking, like and not, that's not a pun, yeah, there's a couple moments where you're like, oh, this could have been a more impactful film while maintaining that sort of fun cheapness and just relying on the characters, like relying on the actors. Because Margot Robbie is fucking amazing in this
She's
movie.
Really, really good. And
But Allison Janney, like, I mean, it's crazy what she can do.
It's awesome,
like,
those performances are so good.
But also, the dude who plays, what's his name, plays Sean.
Yeah.
The bodyguard, the big fat idiot.
Mm-hmm.
That guy is phenomenal. Fucking Sebastian Stan. I didn't know where that guy came from when he was suddenly the Winter Soldier. I'm like, I don't know who this guy is, but I don't give a fuck about the Winter Soldier or...
Yeah.
The Autumn Soldier or any of them.
Yeah.
And now I love that guy because he's fucking great in this movie.
Not. Yeah, and I think Margot Robbie does a really great job of painting this picture of somebody who, like, these two relationships in her life are just so fucked up
so
and
abusive.
So toxic and so abusive. And all she wants is, like, to be taken at, like, this level of... Like, I can fucking skate, just like...
Why can't people just accept me for who I am?
And, like, nobody has been able to do that in her life, and it's a great performance.
Yeah, it really is. But also, like, she plays all the levels because she plays, like, the brashness and the, like, the gleeful white trashiness of her, and, like, everything that goes wrong. She's like, this isn't my fault. It's not my fault.
Yeah.
Like, she plays, like, that aspect of her. But she also plays the strength of Tonya Harding, which you kind of go, like, in all of the scapegoat... Well, you know, scapegoating, she...
Yeah.
helped...
she was involved, too.
But,
like, the movie kind of keeps it at a certain degree, like, whatever degree of which she was involved with what happened, whether she knew 100% or whether she knew that they were going to do something and just willfully was like, I'm not going to... I know, but I'm going to pretend like I don't. Yeah, absolutely. But she does play that
But she also gives the character some dignity and strength. And it would have been so much easier to not do that.
Yeah.
To just make this a caricature. And, it's amazing performances in a B-plus movie.
Yeah, totally. I 100% agree.
Yeah.
It's not going to... And really weird and maybe poorly done facial... like CGI effects on her on the skating scenes.
Oh,
but some really, really well shot skating.
Absolutely,
like some really well directed skating. Like, it really puts you in the rink. And do you still call it a rink when it's figure skating? I don't know. I guess you do.
Yeah.
It almost made some of the figure skating scenes feel action-y.
Yeah, right. Yeah, totally.
Cool. Oh, like the cutting edge.
Yeah.
Woo!
I think maybe...
I don't know.
Should. You're going to like it.
Yeah, why not? Maybe. I think because somebody had kind of casually mentioned, like, oh, yeah, there was some kind of weird face-like stuff, I think maybe I went into it being
looking
like,
for it.
Oh, that is fucking weird. But if I had just watched it, I would have been like, whatever, who cares?
Right.
Yeah. So... I Tonya.
I don't know anymore.
Good movie.
Yeah, all right.
And then super quickly, I saw the film Landline, which is the Jenny Slate film.
Right. I heard not great, right? Isn't that the general consensus?
Some people are saying not great.
Yeah.
I'm saying pretty dang great. If you like
Julian Robespierre, right?
Yes. So the same director as Obvious Child.
Yeah, which I fucking love that.
That was a great movie.
And some similar cast, although this also has John Turturro in it and some others. I won't say too much about it, but I can understand why people are kind of like, whatever. But I really liked it, and it is another one of those movies like I, Tonya, where you're like, okay, you know, it's not like an incredible, you know, moving emotional experience or like perfectly amazingly made movie. But in the same way that Obvious Child is just this very, really great, you know, comedy about, you know, kind of complicated subject matter. This may be a little less complicated. It's a bit more about like, you know, a family and they're dealing with, you know, cheating on each other and stuff. And so it's kind of a bit more of an area that's maybe been used in romantic comedies or these kind of comedies a lot, like that kind of like, oh, I slept with somebody else kind of thing is very well explored territory. But I really liked it. It's really funny. The performances are great. It's just a great movie.
Oh, great. Yeah. I'll watch that.
You definitely will enjoy it if you liked Obvious Child and you just want like another movie kind of like that.
Yeah.
All right, then.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And I will watch Jenny Slate do pretty much anything.
She's
I
so
just
funny.
Think she is absolutely wonderful.
For sure.
Yeah. So yeah, Landline. Check it out.
Okay.
What about what else? What else?
What else?
I'll tell you some stuff.
Yeah.
I'll do a little twofer as well. Keep it short. Some blockbusters.
Yeah.
So on my flight to Jamaica, I was not able to view the film. Partly because of a baby that I brought with me.
Yeah.
And also the
I like that you accepted the blame.
Yeah.
Listen, I brought the baby. It was my fault.
I wanted to watch a movie on a plane. I shouldn't have brought the baby.
Brought a baby.
But also where I was sitting, because it was a Sunwing flight. Things just come down from the... I was on a bad angle and both had glare. And I'm like, can't see nothing. But it was Spider-Man Homecoming, which I've seen. But I was like, I'd watch that right now. It's a nice plane movie. And I was hoping for it on the way back. Because on the way back... We were, we had our Peppa Pig on the tablet set up.
Nice.
Good spot to watch the thing.
Nice.
And the screen comes down, and the movie is Pirates of the Caribbean,
Dead
Men Tell No Tales. I'm like, oh. And this is the movie where when Dan did some cheating, I just didn't watch it when I was supposed to watch the loser movie.
Yes.
And
so
I made Dan watch it.
Punished
and
into
I was like,
it.
I guess this is my fate. I am destined to see this movie. Yeah. So I attempted to watch it on this tiny screen in a plane, which... I don't know who chooses the movies for the plane, but...
That's a bad pick.
It's a bad pick because it's a visual movie and everything is green and gray all the time. Yeah. Like a half an hour, I'm like, I don't know what I'm looking at. I have no idea. And I tuned out a bunch of times. I took my headphones off a whole lot and was never lost.
Yeah.
Nothing was confusing. I don't remember what happened now. All I know is like some stuff happened, his boat... And stuff. They solve the thing, and then at the end, whoever like whatever that tenuous relationship he had, he does something, and they're like, "That's
Sparrow, you dick. And the movie's over. I'm like, maybe there'll be more. I'm like, I'd rather die. Just horrible.
It's not good.
Terrible. So that was unpleasant. Anyway, I watched a little more blockbuster upon arriving back into our country. I watched Justice League.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Was that a part yawn that
turned?
Oh, yeah.
I was yawning, but honestly, if given the choice, that would be my line reading again.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Superman.
Oh, I saw that too.
Yeah. Speaking of CGI faces.
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a mistake.
I would have been much happier if Superman had a mustache.
Yeah, just give him a fucking mustache and don't worry about it. Yeah. He had a mustache that week. Everyone tries it once in a while.
Yeah. You know what? Just give him a mustache. Don't explain it at all, and it would have made that movie, it would have made something in that movie watchable.
Yeah.
Do you think when they...
Have we all seen it then now?
Yeah.
Justice League? Yeah, okay. So, yeah, his fucked up face happened a lot and was very confusing. It's a bad movie.
Eh, it's not great.
It's and I went in there just like, eh, don't be as bad as Suicide Squad. It's not. But it's also painfully boring. Didn't care about anything. And
didn't care about anything.
Nothing. And what a bed shitting of a villain they have in this fucking movie. Steppenwolf? Are you fucking kidding me? This is your go-to? Like, this truly shows the prowess of Marvel films over DC, where Marvel went with kind of a silly character for Avengers for their big villain and throwing Loki at it, which is actually historically correct for the first Avengers comic book. Loki is the bad guy, and he's an old-timey guy, but he's got the silly hat and all the shit, and they made it work. They got a good actor.
Even the silly hat.
They leaned into it, totally. And Loki is like a great character for the films.
So yeah.
Amazing that they pulled it off. So you, like... They can do that. They pull in some guy that I've never fucking heard of. No one has heard of. He's CGI, man. No one gives a fuck.
And looks ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
I don't even remember anything about the villain in that movie.
No. And then he's afraid at the end, so his monkey bugs attack whatever the fuck those guys
are. Fucking
those
drawing
things
are a terrible. Blank.
Everything was just like, what is happening here?
Yeah.
And Ben Affleck has the best Batman suit I've seen in a movie.
Yeah,
for
it's great.
Sure. The man inside just doesn't care.
He's the worst Batman.
He has
slash Bruce
no
Wayne.
Character.
No.
At all.
I mean, Val Kilmer.
I don't know.
It's pretty bad.
It's pretty, pretty bad. It's really bad.
And,
but this
George Clooney
that I have to think about it. I shouldn't have to think about
I know.
It. If whether or not he's better than Val Kilmer or George Clooney.
Yeah.
But it's just
and
like.
Also, but I don't know. At least they were trying something. Well,
yeah. I don't
maybe
know.
Val Kilmer less than George Clooney. But
yeah.
Like, it just seems like Ben Affleck, his whole character is this.
Yeah. Tired. Very tired. I regret this decision.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, Ben. So do we all.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can just go. No one will care.
Yeah.
Yeah. But everything's stupid in this movie. I don't care about any of it. I swear, after watching this, I'm like, please, God, I do not. I know you finished it and all, but I don't want to watch an Aquaman movie. Not at all. And I like Jason Momoa.
So do I.
But fuck me, do I not want to see an Aquaman movie.
He's so awful in this movie. Yeah. I hated him in this movie. I'm like,
bad.
There's so many other reasons to hate Aquaman. Don't make new ones.
Yeah, yeah. And they should have just dressed him up in the orange. Just fuck it. Just do it.
Just fucking do it.
Or had him do something.
Something.
He's just like, he's like nothing in the movie.
Well, because he's Aquaman. It's so stupid. And Flash, yep. Another bed shitting. Just get the guy from the TV show. People like that.
Yeah.
It's fine. I didn't care.
Although, to his credit, I liked him more than I thought I would.
Yeah.
I don't care that much for that actor. And I did not care for what I saw in the previews. And then as a character on screen, I was like,
I get what they're going for.
Yeah.
I don't know. He was better than Ben Affleck in this movie.
Yeah.
And thank God Wonder Woman is running around.
Yeah.
But even that doesn't do anything for this film.
No, she doesn't really do much here either.
And then that tacked on shit at the end of the Superman Flash race.
Oh, yeah, it's dumb.
That all of the levity in this film, that like we're not going to be big, clunky, horrible, dark DC anymore. It's so forced.
It's so bad.
It feels and so like, shitty. Yeah. And it, fucking it embarrassing.
Like, instead of like having Joss Whedon go over like rewrite the script or anything, they just got him on the phone and said, say a couple of Joss Whedon-y things.
Yeah.
And they did. And they were like, all right, we'll put him here, here, and here.
Yeah.
All right, we're done.
Oh, man.
Terrible. Yeah, yeah. I remember, I feel like I can't remember anything from the movie other than how I reacted to it, which was like, yeah, not as bad as I expected,
no.
But also very not good.
Yeah, not good at all. I mean, the fact that it's better than two other total piles of shit.
Yeah.
But not in a way that it's like, oh, you've improved filmmaking. It doesn't have a, your mom's name is Martha moment.
Yeah.
It doesn't have something that's insanely stupid.
Yeah.
It really did have some conveniently placed water so that Aquaman would have something
to do. Could
do
something? Yeah,
listen,
yeah.
It's a very restrained garbage movie.
Yeah,
they
yeah,
pulled back
yeah, yeah,
a little
yeah.
on the
I
shittiness.
Mean, and the last half an hour where they're in just fucking CGI land is, yeah. What a...
It's confusing to watch.
It's,
and,
it's
and
too
I,
red.
Like, it's well, the thing is, what I kind of liked, because like you know how the Marvel movies have a very specific look and
yeah.
like very specific kind of colors and like aesthetic. And it's very watchable. I like that they attempted something a little bit lighter and more colorful with this movie than the dark, boring Zack Snyderiness.
Yeah.
But it was not in place of an interesting movie.
No. Yeah. None of the action is interesting or cool looking or, I mean, nothing. Mm-hmm. And the Flash stuff, like him running around, I'm like, X-Men did this way better, you know, yeah. 5 years ago or whatever the fuck, yeah. you know. It's already been done out. Like, there's nothing. You've got to go look at the Flash TV show and figure out why that's working.
Yeah.
It's not, this slow-mo scene where he's like, ooh, look at the stuff.
Yeah.
Ooh. Well, there's your little sword.
Stuff around. Yeah.
You know, that's your big moment.
Boink. Yeah. Doink. I poked your sword. So, well, he's not the Swedish chef.
I thought it sounded a little bit like Casey yawning.
Yeah.
Doink your sword.
Yeah,
sword doinking.
I'm astounded that they're going to keep making movies.
Yeah, I know.
I can't. I'm just. I hate them.
Yeah.
I hate them. I hate them so much, and I liked Wonder Woman so much. I almost am like, I don't want none of it. But I'd like Wonder Woman 2, please.
Did you guys know that there is a... And this is something that got retweeted into my Twitter feed that I was like, wow. There is a subset of conspiracy theorists who are DC fanatics who think that there is a conspiracy where, like, the death in Zack Snyder's family was an assassination by Marvel and, like, and there is like some deep
what?
Shit.
Wow, how
like
would Marvel benefit from
like
that?
Unbelievable, like
DC's
conspiracy.
Undoing
yeah.
itself. It's not
yeah.
like Zack Snyder hitting him out of the park. You know, it's
yeah,
that's
like
crazy.
They think that there's
also,
this,
yeah. what a horrible thing to
exactly,
say.
Exactly. Yeah. They think that like it's all this like Disney has put like money into this, you know, campaign to end DC or like what? No,
they just have like totally fucked up. They're rushing everything. It's just bad Hollywood filmmaking.
Yeah.
No one can make you make a bad movie.
Yeah. There's also apparently
you hire David Ayer to direct.
Yeah. That's how you do it.
Yeah. There's a million problems. It's like before any of it went to even close to being to going to camera, we were all like, "Oh, this is a horrible way to do this. You can't do it like this.
Yeah.
You're gonna fuck up." Yeah. Anyway,
wonderful.
Justice League.
Yeah. What else?
Wonderful.
Wonderful. Yeah.
And it still hasn't broken even though it's made like $500 million worldwide. Or
great.
Whatever,
oh man, still, that's how you make a movie.
Yeah. They fucked up real bad. This is gonna like tank a lot. I don't know what they're gonna. They've already made Aquaman, so it has to come out.
Yeah.
But then what? I know they'll make Wonder Woman 2 because that was bank.
Yeah.
But and the Shazam is going to camera in like 3 weeks or something, four
Shazamra.
Weeks. but that's like some outsider stuff, so they could be okay
what
with
is that?
Shazam. Shazam?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
I know the word.
Cool.
That's good. A good
hey guys,
start.
I'm part of the conversation too.
We can start there.
Shazam, he's a golden age superhero as well.
All right.
He's like a big heroic looking dude like Superman, but it's a red suit with like a white lightning bolt on the chest, a little yellow cape.
He's like the Shazam that you would see on the commercials. It's like he's a very absorbent towel.
Well, I'll watch that.
His whole thing is like he's a kid.
Shazam!
The character's not actually named Shazam.
Boo. I mean, yay!
It's not named Shazam. It's a misconception amongst the general public.
Yeah,
he's actually called Captain Marvel. Oh. Shazam is the magic word the kid says to become Captain Marvel.
Oh.
So it's sort of like a big situation where a kid who becomes a big, strong superhero. But he's a kid. He looks like Fred McMurray.
Sweet. you got me on board now.
He looks like Fred McMurray?
No, when he turns into Captain Marvel. Well, then now they've just shifted over to his name is Shazam because Marvel has a Captain Marvel as well.
And because I was going to say, I thought Brie Larson was Captain Marvel.
And Marvel has all the copyright to the name now. So they've just made his name Shazam now, which is for the best.
Yeah. Did Marvel exist when they made Captain Marvel?
No.
I was going to say, they're like, we're taking your name.
Yeah, no, they fucked up.
Yeah.
Somebody fucked up somewhere.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Anyway. What else? Anything else from you guys?
What movies that I saw? Yes, like a million.
Okay.
I guess I can pepper things out through next week, too. Casey, did you have another stuff?
Did you have one more, or did you already do two?
I did two.
Okay.
I literally cannot think of another thing that I watched. I have been watching... just a lot of, because when you get cable, it turns out now you basically just watch either The Simpsons or Modern Family.
Yeah.
So I've been watching a lot of those, and Modern Family is a real law of diminishing returns type of a show, but I'll still watch it because I like everybody on it.
Yeah. I had a big like movie absorbing period, and then Athena had never watched The Office, the American one. I'm a big fan of The Office. I mean, the first season is terrible.
Yeah, season two gets great,
and then it gets great, and then it stays great until Steve Carell leaves, and then it's just merely okay.
Yeah.
But the seasons 2 through 6 or whatever or 7 are just fucking great. So we've been marathoning that. All it's been is just The Office for like days.
You know they're
days.
Bringing that back.
I did hear they're bringing that back. That's a dumb
idea.
Don't
do that.
Yeah, I gotta wonder why are they doing that?
Didn't they already figure out once when you take Steve Carell out of The Office, it stops working?
Pointless.
Yeah.
Anyway. And what are they gonna John Krasinski's already? Is he gonna go back?
No, he's Jack Ryan now.
Yeah.
Yeah, no one's going back. It's going to be an all-new cast.
That's dumb.
Dumb idea. Not going to hit that thing out of the park twice.
No.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a terrific show. It holds up really well. Still really good.
Nice.
Like, really good.
I still have something against it just because I'm like, this source material is something that is so, so dear to me.
Yeah. Well, you know, like Ricky Gervais was like developed this too. Like it's, you know.
Yeah. No, so. not that it's not that it didn't make a lot of money for Ricky Gervais and for Stephen Merchant. That makes me happy or whatever. But I just find it so pale.
Yeah.
You know what?
I strongly recommend just start at season 2.
I've seen, and the thing is, I have seen a lot of episodes and found them to be funny because Steve Carell is fucking amazing. Mm. But when I think of it, I don't have good thoughts of it for some reason.
I find it interesting that the American Office didn't get good until it left the shadow of its material that it was based off.
Yeah.
And then Parks and Rec also didn't get good until season 2, which is when it stopped trying to be the American Office.
Yeah,
so
totally.
It's like,
first season of Parks and Rec
not very good. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh no, now this is so
amazing.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, because like they had zero character for Leslie Knope. Edge of doing like Steve Carell Office thing.
Yeah, it's just like, what if Michael Scott was in a different office and a woman?
Yeah. Anyway.
Nice.
Sure.
I will say that I watched a movie, Greg, that you saw and talked about on the show. Happy Death Day. Not very good.
No.
Like, it's good in a watchable way, but then I really started to think about it, and I was like, no, I kind of really don't like this movie.
No, it's not good.
And I will also say I watched a movie over the Christmas break that a lot of people were talking about called Better Watch Out. This is a horror film.
Yeah.
A lot of people were talking about it because it's a pretty new movie from, I think, last year, 2017, and it's a Christmas horror movie, and a lot of people had a lot of time for it, and I'm here to say that movie is fucking garbage, and I hate it. a lot.
I see.
So, Very Watch good. Out fucking sucks. Yeah. Don't watch that movie.
Okay, I'll hang on to one for next week.
Okay.
But I will mention that I saw Bright.
Oh, man.
Did you guys
I have
watch
not
Bright?
Pulled
what?
The trigger on that.
Yeah. What do you mean? What?
I was thinking
you watched that free movie on Netflix.
I was
no,
thinking
I just,
of it.
I can't imagine a parent having time to watch Bright.
Oh,
I was thinking of
because
watching
I'd it. Like to watch it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I just can't imagine when I'm gonna have time to.
But now you know what was the best? Not the best. But one thing that was delightful about my Christmas holiday was during Boxing Week, where Athena and I were both still off work, our daycare was still open.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's a vacation.
We went out to the movies and did things. It was fucking
nice.
Bananas.
That sounds wonderful. Yeah. Like, what a wonderful vacation.
Yeah.
Like, you get still get to see your kid at the end of the day.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
Then you and your wife get to spend time together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness.
That was wild.
That would be amazing.
Yeah. It's all right. So, yeah, I watched Bright, and, yeah, we went out to the movie theaters.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Yeah. More on that for next week. We're out in the movie theaters. But, Bright, Netflix is big. Sequel coming because a lot of people stream. So there you go. I don't know how they really. Anyway,
yeah, they put a lot of money into this thing.
Yeah, it is a enormous pill to swallow off the top. Where it's just like, yeah. So I guess it's like if Lord of the Rings was real history of our world, you know, and that happened way back when, and now we've all just like mildly evolved into the society of today, mixed with there's orcs and fairies and. Very little fairies. There's a fairy at the beginning and then one at the end because they were like, oh, remember fairies?
Yeah.
And it's dumb. It's not good, but it's not as fucking horrible as some people have made it out.
Yeah.
And I think everyone across the board has agreed that Joel Edgerton is quite good in it.
Mm-hmm.
I do not know how he pulled off such a good performance in this not super well-written, clumsy, buddy cop fantasy.
Yeah.
You know, not even mildly. Racism's bad, man. Alien Nation is a much better movie.
That's a
much,
good place
much,
to
much
start.
Better movie. But this one just, like, beats you over the head with, like, these orcs.
Yeah.
Ah, do you get what we're saying? Yeah. It's a big, clumsy, loud movie.
Yeah.
That occasionally has some moments that I'm like, that was cool. Or what? Like, so you have like little things in it. Like New Mirror Pace is, looks really cool in it and does a couple cool things. And Joel Edgerton's really good. And it's like weirdly, you can't look away after a while.
Yeah.
And it does things where you're like, what are you doing? So I feel like on some night where you're just like, oh, fuck it. Put it on. And then tell me you did that.
Yeah.
I have no idea what to say about this movie. It's not good, but it isn't horrible.
Yeah.
It's a
better than Suicide Squad?
Much. Mm-hmm. Oh, much. It's a million times better than Suicide Squad. Yeah. Suicide Squad is like a pile of shit. Like, it made me mad. I was uncomfortable watching it. Couldn't wait for it to be over, and I fucking hated it. This was just like, what? And like Netflix is gonna go all in on a fucking blockbuster movie, and like this is the idea. Like, somebody was like, I don't know. That is a bold choice. Like, oh yeah, fairies and orcs and stuff. Buddy cop racism parable.
So
sign me up. Here's your $90 million.
It's crazy because it's written by Max Landis, who disowned the movie because it's apparently very different. I think David Ayer did a big rewrite or something.
Yeah.
And then when it came out and it had all this attention and was getting really, really bad press, Max Landis was immediately outed as somebody who has done some awful assaulting things to women. And then he's like the biggest loudmouth idiot in the world on Twitter and has not tweeted since.
Yeah.
He's just gone complete radio silence.
Well, and they are making the sequel, and they're bringing everybody back but him.
Yeah, so fuck that guy.
Yep.
And, yeah.
So maybe in this weird world they've made of this fucking
Could be a sequel?
A better writer?
Yeah.
Maybe? But it is all very... It's so silly.
Yeah.
And you eventually settle into, like, okay, this is the world here.
Yeah.
But it's just... It's just too silly.
Yeah.
But I would be very curious to hear or to talk to you both about this film.
Okay.
Movie.
I Yeah. Despite everything I've heard about it, I still kind of want to see it just to see.
Yeah, listen, it's not
to see the world.
Yeah, you should look at it. Yeah. And Joel Edgerton, very good. Noomi Rapace, very good.
Mm-hmm. Sweet.
Yeah.
Well, speaking about talking about a movie,
yeah,
is it time to get to Film Roulette?
I guess so, yeah.
And talk about the movie?
Yeah.
All right.
We're gonna send Casey away,
we're
going to
send
though.
Casey away for a few minutes.
We're going to get into spoiler land hardcore.
Yeah, yeah. And for the listeners, I still have not seen Star
Wars.
Right. And just by way of explanation, it's not for lack of trying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've tried. We were going to see it over Christmas. That was the plan. And then Christmas Eve, my father had a heart attack. Mm-hmm. And Christmas was canceled. And then we were going to see it in that little bridge. We were going to see it just after New Year's.
Mm-hmm.
Then my grandmother died on New Year's Eve. And so my whole Christmas holiday has been spent in hospitals,
mm-hmm.
various mm-hmm. hospitals for various reasons.
Yep. Yeah.
And as such, I have not been able to see the movie. It's killing me.
Yeah.
I've had to stop.
You also moved just
yeah.
before all of this yeah. happened,
yes,
which is also one of the most
also,
stressful things you can do.
So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I've had to, so far 5 podcasts I've had to hit stop on because they
sure.
start to go, "Hey, you know that scene where
yeah.
I can't look at the internet.
Yeah. yeah.
I can't. It's everywhere.
It is everywhere.
There have been things that have been spoiled for me.
Sure.
Oh, man.
Yeah, well, it's just all anyone's talking about.
I know certain people who are in it, or maybe not people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Like certain little surprises.
Yep.
Otherwise, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't.
We will revisit this, of
yeah,
course, as soon
will.
As you see it, because I think
I need
thoughts
to know,
on this
yeah.
are maybe the most important of the three
I think
of us.
So
or
important.
I think absolutely.
Yeah.
My thoughts.
So yeah. important.
No.
I think so. I need to know. So,
yeah, I'm
yeah.
super curious what his take will be on this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So I will
it sounds like
myself.
Athena's still chasing my daughter back and forth in the living room, so you can help with that if you like.
All right.
I guess
sweet. I'll go chase Athena.
Time for
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Film Roulette.
Okay.
Film Roulette is our weekly segment where the three of us roll a die and the two high rollers get to go see something good. This week it was The Last Jedi and the low roller has to watch something terrible.
Mm.
The loser was Greg as well.
Yeah.
Who had to watch some terrible Christmas movies. But it wasn't really a role this week because Star Wars is so important.
Yeah, we all generally
yeah.
will see that.
So, but the low roller gets to give the winners an album to listen to for the rest of the week. And then we roll for movies next episode.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Star Wars, The Last Jedi.
Yes.
You must know about this as
yeah,
a listener.
I'm sure you've heard about it. Yeah.
Directed by Rian Johnson of Looper. And other films previously,
mm-hmm.
the continuing saga of the Star Wars films.
Yep.
You do need the cast listing? I don't think
no,
you do.
No.
So
we sent Casey away because he hasn't
sent
seen
him
it.
Away.
We are going to just wide
yes.
open talk about this movie, events in it. This
yeah.
is going to be a super
spoiler 10 or 15 minutes.
Yeah. So
yeah, watch out
if you haven't seen it. This is
yeah.
I don't think you've probably seen it though. I
yeah.
feel like it's been long enough.
So. I have had an interesting road with Star Wars.
Sure.
I have gone from somebody who famously was not a fan of the originals.
Yep.
I have softened on that over the years.
Yep.
I have found, you know, my entry point to Star Wars, which was The Force Awakens.
Right.
As kind of a retelling of the first film, but with
yep.
a more modern take and characters that I felt like now these are my characters I get to come into and
yep.
enjoy these characters.
Right.
And so it's been an interesting road coming
yeah.
to here. And this has been, you know, Force Awakens was the first time I was interested in seeing a Star Wars. Like I can't wait to see it. Rogue One was the first time I was like overexcited about like, oh man,
yeah,
here
yeah.
we go. And then this has been the first one where it's like, you know, I've been waiting and waiting for a year and a half or however long it's been, and just like, oh, fuck, can't wait, can't wait. Comes, so this has been it for me.
And I've been a Star Wars fan my whole life. Yeah. I've been right in the pocket of, you know, key audience age and was obsessed with it all through my childhood, had all the toys, I've seen all the movies. I literally have no idea how many times. It's countless.
Yeah.
And adore them. They aren't just movies. They're more than that in my life. They are a bigger, different thing. Mm-hmm.
So...
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
I had an interesting experience with this movie because when I watched it yesterday.
Yesterday.
Fresh. Yeah, okay. Fresh.
Yeah, I saw it like a week and a half ago or something.
Yeah. So I watched it and I really had a great time at the movies. It took me a few minutes to acclimate to Star Wars. I felt like at the beginning of the movie, I was like, oh, yeah, what's going on here? Like, this tone is weird and the dialogue's weird. And then once I got into it, I really enjoyed it. And I thought coming home from the movie theater, I thought, oh, yeah, I could just talk about this in broad strokes and not spoil it and be like, yeah, you know, I don't think I have much to say about it other than I really, really liked it and had a lot of fun. Great movie.
Mm.
And then today I listened to 3 hours of Star Wars podcasts. I feel for the first time in an interesting way. Like, I listened to fucking 2 hours of, like, people picking this movie apart and talking about the lore and stuff, and I was fucking engaged. And I was like, this is the first time I've ever felt like that kind of Star Wars fan where I'm like, yeah, what was that guy's backstory, and who is he, dude? What?
Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
I the more I think about this movie in the 24 hours it's been since I've seen it, the more I fucking love it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And this has been divisive. People are either, it was great, the best since Empire, or they're like, remove it from canon.
Yeah.
This is very intense.
Yeah, and so I was worried. I was like, Greg, I don't know how Greg's going to come down on this. Mm. So,
Athena and I went and saw it just after we got back from Jamaica. Well, we had Zoe in daycare, which was like, nice. As soon as it was like the first daycare day, I'm like, going to Star Wars.
Yeah.
So excited. And I am somewhere in the middle.
Okay.
Because I wasn't nuts about this movie.
Yeah.
And not for many of the reasons that some people are freaking out here. I understand the Luke arc is complicated for people. I have problems with it, but it's not all in his choices.
Yeah.
Because I do get how it relates to The Force Awakens and stuff, you know, transcending back to Empire.
Yeah.
So I get that. I felt my biggest problems with this movie were a lot of the story of this movie, because there wasn't much of one, I felt like. And too long of Luke just like, no, 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 no. Will you help us? No. Will you train me? No. No, until you know he's going to change his mind. And I'm like, so it was like a long, really long one note of that.
Yeah.
And which does kind of flip back to Empire specifically with Yoda. He's too old. Can't do it. Blah, blah, blah. And so that bothered me for a while. And my major problem with the movie was because the Luke stuff. We'll get to it anyway. I hated CGI Casino Land so much.
No,
that
wrong.
Was, oh my god,
it's
it was right
so
out of the prequels.
Important.
It's not.
It's so important.
It was so boring.
No,
all the dumb horses they rode.
That was great.
It was not. It looked stupid.
No,
and I was just like, what's going
on?
And I just couldn't. When I think about rewatching this movie, that's the part I'm like, I almost don't want to.
It's
because I don't want to sit through that again.
So integral to the entire point of the film.
The horse fring?
No, that whole, what's in it, Canto Bite?
Yeah.
Or whatever it's
yeah.
called? That whole thing is so important to the point of the movie and where the movie ends and the mission that they're on and how that mission fails.
Yeah.
But through their failure, they instill the seed of hope in this world that is like a fascist regime.
Yeah.
That whole, like, if like you can't get rid of that stuff because it's so integral to the theme of the film.
And here's where my problem lies with the movie. Because I know you can't get rid of that stuff. And also, I know you can't get rid of the Luke stuff because it's important. And I get that when he throws the lightsaber away and he's like, what am I supposed to do? One man walks in with a lightsaber
yeah.
against an army? But that's exactly what it does at the end because it spawns hope. And he's delivering the message of hope.
Yeah.
And the way it was delivered to me as a film is what I didn't care for. The delivery method of going to Casino Land, I just didn't like it there.
Yeah.
I didn't like how it looked. I didn't care for the pacing of that scene. I felt like it was too long of Luke going, no, 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 no. And for me, there is a part of me that I am like the wrong age group. This isn't my Star Wars anymore, the
yeah.
one I grew up with. The me waiting all this time to see full force Luke go and you don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get the force projection of him at the end and then it kills him. And I was so frustrated with that too.
Oh, it's so good.
Why do that? Just, if he's just going to die... And I was like, I see the symbolism of the double sunset. Like, we
yeah.
have that going on. And it's all there. And I can take away. Once I settle down from watching Luke Skywalker die in front of me, which was brutal for my age group, I like the story we're telling with that and what it means. But again, the delivery method just didn't really work for me. Some stuff did. The opening battle, I thought, was amazing and stunning.
Yeah.
And some of the action in this was the best that I've ever
seen.
I loved
some of the action.
And I loved the red under the salt.
So good.
Wow, so good.
Yeah.
But there was like silly stuff, like Finn going full tilt, like, I'm going to ram my face into this thing, and
yeah.
that's that. It was like, what are we, what? I don't know. I was already getting irritated at that point, so then the little things were huge to me. Because I'm
yeah.
like, well, that was fucking stupid. And, I didn't hate it, but there were things that I had problems with, and I thought it was very funny. All the side thing, when Laura Dern fires the fucking ship, through,
yeah.
I thought that was amazing.
That's one of the best things.
It was so good. But did you see all the stuff
movies.
Where the AMC was putting
yeah.
up the? Because people were like, the sound went out.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I know.
Are you?
It's
fucking...
not. It's like for 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Like, it's
and
like
it's not even remotely
stand
confusing
up
as to what happened.
And say, hey,
yeah,
where'd the sound
but
go?
Enough people did. I'm like, you fucking ding dong.
I know.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I loved that scene.
That was outstanding.
Yeah, so
quite
good.
Like that. And there's all these again, it's the delivery method. All the metaphors, you got to kill the past, get away from it. And I like this movie was like, we are not going to follow the rules here. We're
yeah.
going to kill Snoke. Like, and it's, you know, it doesn't matter who he was
because
yeah. it was never a mystery. No one said it was a mystery.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I can deal with that.
That's one of the things that when I see some of the reaction to, like, I can't believe they killed him, like, it feels to me like some of the reactions I've seen about Snoke specifically is like, but you're the one who made it out like he was going to be the most important
right.
thing in the world because
yeah.
you needed like a topic to talk about on your YouTube video.
Because totally. Everyone like, turned into Star Wars sleuths
yeah.
about him. You know, is he,
And I loved that.
Yeah, and
but
so that's fine. Because,
see,
listen, he was never, there was no setup of like, who is, there was a mystery to him. He was out there, his face is exposed, his name the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
But I did feel like a little bit of a, rug pull was Rey's parentage. Because
yeah.
they are setting up a who her parents are. They're really pushing, building.
Yeah.
Like, they're nobody guy. And
yeah.
I was like, all right, fine. If that's what it's going to be, that's fine. But I didn't like this little bait. Like, we're going to, it felt cheap or like they didn't know what they were going to do. And they were like, oh, what if it's nobody?
Yeah.
You know, so that felt a little
but
clumsy
I felt
to
like
me.
It's, you know, the way that that was explained to her by Kylo was kind of one of those things where, you know, he's hurting her with the truth, but
yeah.
she, you know, the truth of what he's saying is like, they were nobody and you're nobody.
Yeah.
You know, he's telling her that because that's the truth and it's supposed to hurt her, but he's wrong in that she's not nobody. She's not nobody because her parents were nobody.
Yeah.
She's actually the opposite of nobody. And her relationship with Luke through both of these movies, I think, like, no one's more of a father figure to her than Luke.
Yeah.
Like when you go back to The Force Awakens and you look at stuff in that movie where she is such, she has this idol in Luke. And when people talk about Luke, she's like lighting up.
Yeah.
And I just found that I felt like all the stuff with like her parents being nobodies was really like well handled. And I felt like so much, I don't know. I have so many thoughts about this movie that it's like the first time I've ever had this many like thoughts about a Star Wars movie. But I don't understand the idea that like I didn't take it. I know like you got to kill the past is like a thing that is said, but I never took it as like they're burning down the past. I took it as, you know, he thinks like that he has to burn down the past because he's presented with these visions of like, if I continue to train Jedis, I'm going to see all this awful stuff happen. And he has to realize that that's not the answer. The answer is we need to seed the hope and we need to like, it's less to me about burn down your heroes. And it's more about understand that hope is almost more important than the hero himself. And I felt like everything in this movie from Luke's stuff to the stuff with Rey and to everybody's kind of arcs, I felt like it was, to me, it just felt like I felt like I had watched a different movie when I saw all these reviews. I was like, this feels the most Star Wars that I've seen since any of the original movies. It just feels like and even the stuff that I don't 100% like about it with like some wonky editing and stuff. Yeah. I felt like, to me, this is going to be the Star Wars movie that is so rewatchable. And when I grow up and come back to this movie, I'm not going to have those problems with it. You know what I mean? when I grow up from my young 33 years old, when I grow up, but this movie made me feel like a fucking kid.
Fair
enough. And the original movie, like people talk about this movie, like, oh, there's comedy that doesn't fit. It's not Star Wars comedy. I'm like, there's fucking dumb fucking comedy in the original.
There's dumb comedy in all of them. But there's also good comedy in all of them.
Of course.
And some of the comedy in this is okay. Some of it was a little forced. And there were just things that just, I don't know, that there were things that felt pushed into it that I didn't like. That I don't know. I didn't like all the weird caretakers that were on Luke's little island there. Those I was not into. I was like, I liked more of him just being alone out there. And I was like, why does he have all these servants? This is silly.
I love the porks.
And they're weird. Yeah, I'm fine with the porks too. I didn't need to see him milk that thing.
I thought it was funny.
Yeah, I thought it was weird. And he was so defiant, like, I drink this shit. You look me in the face when I drink this stuff.
I loved it.
I'm like, all right, it's the blue milk, and there you go. And I've had a really weird relationship in the week and a half or 2 weeks since I saw this movie, because the biggest thing that I felt when I walked away from it wasn't that I really hated it or anything like that, but I walked out kind of like, like I didn't have a Star Wars-y time with it. Like I don't know. And I've talked to everyone I've talked to up until earlier today, everyone I've talked to hated it. And so there's been a lot of negative, and I kind of really did roll with that a bit too, because there were things I did not like. But I really, and I spent a lot of time thinking about the Luke journey and what it means and what he did. And I'm like, I like that so much, but I feel like I like the idea of it more than I liked the movie of it.
I don't know. I thought the kind of like presentation of what happened between him and Kylo and the different versions that we flash back to. I really liked that.
That grew on me, but I feel like, do I like just the idea of that, or do I like, I need to watch this movie again.
But to me, like,
I have a whole fucking jumbled thing going on with it. Like where I like what everything means.
Yeah.
You know, but I didn't really like watching it.
I don't know. I get what you mean, because I didn't, you know, think a ton about this stuff until I was thinking back to it and listening to podcasts where people were discussing it and arguing about it. But like, I don't know. I think this idea of all these characters going on these journeys where they are being presented with things and they're taking different things away from it, like everything between Kylo and Rey, and with this idea of like, they both see themselves joining together, but they take it in a different way, or this idea of like, you know, Luke seeing the darkness and Kylo and not knowing how to, like, which way to take that, and all this stuff about, like, I don't know, I just, I felt like it bloomed upon further inspection when whereas I walked away from it like, hey, it was like not the best movie ever, but I had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I feel like for me, this movie's gonna be something that the more I rewatch it, because it is a bit more dense than usual, I think I'm going to like it more and more every time I watch it, and make more and more connections.
Yeah.
And I just feel like it's so Star Wars-y to me. I don't know.
I felt it was, it turned away from that, which is not my problem with it though. Yeah. Like, I like how the tonal shift of Empire after A New Hope is radical. Like, yeah. Everything about it feels different than A New Hope. And I'm hoping that that's the case with this movie, because no one liked Empire when it came out.
Yeah.
That's why they changed the name of, Return of the Jedi was originally called Revenge of the Jedi.
Yeah.
And they were like, we have to pull away from this negative shit that we threw down with Empire that everyone fucking hated, and have this, like, happy, fun fucking Return of the Jedi movie with Ewoks and all kinds of wackadoo songs and stuff, you know, and so you can feel that swing in it, you know? So I'm hoping that I can... that it's just me, and I come back to this to really enjoy it, you know, because there were things to like about it, and I did like some performances in it, and some were flat, and I thought not very good.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with some of that stuff with performances and some of the dialogue and stuff, but I kind of rolled with it like,
well, Star Wars has some not
some
great dialogue and a couple of real bad performances throughout it.
Totally.
But, you know, it was a really conflicting, weird watch. And I think it's particularly hard for my age group and older.
Yeah.
Because it's not, it's throwing a wrench into our Star Wars, you know? Mm-hmm. I liked Yoda being Yoda again, because I hated prequels Yoda.
I saw a lot of people saying, like, oh, too much CGI. And I was like, I was constantly being presented with things that I could tell weren't CGI.
Yeah.
Yoda and the Porgs were often not, and some of those crystal dogs weren't. I was like, fucking A, awesome practical stuff.
Yeah. I had no problem with the effects then, and the CGI stuff was fine, and they're doing a fine job of blending, except for those fucking horse things. I hated it. I couldn't stand looking at it. And that whole place, that whole sequence, I just fucking... did not like. It just rubbed me the wrong way so intensely. It felt so much like the prequels to me.
Oh, man.
So much.
I don't know.
I did not like.
I felt like, it didn't remind me of the prequels at all.
And I like, I don't know. But maybe I need to watch it again. I don't know. I just don't know. It was a really weird watch for me.
I will say, and this is kind of weird, but there was a funny thing that happened to me. So the first time that I've been overwhelmed with emotion in a Star Wars movie was a weird moment in this movie when he was milking that thing.
I was just gonna say that myself.
In the final battle, there's a point where they fly like underground into like a crystal cave, and for some reason I was like completely overwhelmed with emotion during that scene, because about halfway through, when they're like flying through shit and dodging shit and it's just so fun, I like realized that like this movie had totally sucked me in.
Yeah.
In that specifically in that moment, I was just like having so much fun watching them go somewhere that I didn't realize they were going to go underground, and there's all these fucking crystals and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I was just like, it melted every worry away in my mind, and I was just excited like a kid for a moment.
That's great, man.
And then I mentioned that to friend of the show, Matt Brown. I was like, this is really weird, but like this happened to me in this moment, and like my eyes welled up. And he was like, oh my God, me too.
Huh.
And it was like so weird that this thing, I was like, there's no one else is going to feel like no one's dying, or there's no like character emotion. It was just the like childlike wonder of like, oh, whoa, we're here now.
Yeah. Yay! Yeah, yeah.
it was, I did not expect that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another thing that frustrated me, I'm just throwing it all. So I don't forget later and be like, why did I talk about that?
Yeah.
And just to, I'm just trying to explain why I was lukewarm on this movie.
Yeah.
Luke. No, Luke Skywalker, you fucking inbred. Yeah. Because again, I'm not like removed from canon or anything like that.
Yeah.
There's a great deal I enjoyed in this movie. Like, I came out, when Athena and I walked out, I was like, she's like, what'd you think? And I was like, pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, like that's where I planted. Yeah. So, but the staying just ahead of the Empire fleet thing, with their remaining, this is all there is left of the rebellion. I'm like, all right, we already saw season one of Battlestar Galactica where that was the thing.
Yeah.
Where they were running low
I
on
did
fuel
that,
and having to just, you know, light speed away for in short distances, but the Cylons keep catching up.
Yeah.
Keep catching up, and eventually they're going to run out of
Fuel
and get smoked. And I was like, I think a couple people saw Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah.
You know, you don't, like, this isn't a new idea. So I was a little like, well, we're just kind of doing like a lukewarm version of that.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of a bummer. Mm-hmm. I liked the twist on it, like, let's just fire our big ship into them.
Yeah.
So that was neat. But that, it was just like, I don't know. There's just too many little holes were pricked in my Star Wars happiness bubble that all the air was coming out.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I really struggled with Luke dying. I really did. It was hard. And there was something I wanted to see that I just didn't get to.
Yeah.
That from the moment I heard these movies were happening, I was like, and, you know, I spent most of my life being a Han guy, but when I was a little kid, I wanted to be Luke Skywalker more than anything in the world. And so when I heard these movies were happening and Mark Hamill was coming back, this is all I've been waiting for. It's like, I get to see Luke Skywalker in a movie again.
Yeah.
And what I saw was maybe, you know, it wasn't what I was looking for.
Yeah.
So I do need to watch this movie again where that expectation is gone.
Yeah.
And what I want, you know, I wanted to see I wanted to see full steam Luke so bad. And you get some of it at the end, you do.
I've heard stories of people hating this movie and then seeing it another two times in theaters and being like, oh no, like coming around on it. Yeah. So I don't think it's impossible.
I don't want to hate a fucking Star Wars movie. It sucked. Hating the prequels was the worst. it still is. They still infuriate me for being so bad. And it's frustrating too because you want to see young, tearing it up Obi-Wan. Yeah. And Ewan McGregor did a terrific job with what he was handed in those movies. I still can. Anyway, so I don't know if I need I'm going to watch it again.
Yeah, yeah.
And I hope maybe I was just. I hope I didn't. I hope the situation is that I was impressing my own wants. Mm-hmm. Of this movie on it too hard and therefore didn't enjoy it as much.
I think it'll grow. I think it will. I think this movie has a lot of legs on it.
It looks wonderful.
Yeah. And I do think that, like, people out there are allowed to, like, not like the movie, you know? You can have problems with the movie. Yeah, yeah. It's not a big deal.
For sure. And maybe it'll fit better when I see the next one. Yeah. Did you find it weird how much of a struggle Kylo and Rey had with fighting those red dudes?
No, I was like, this is badass. I loved it.
Well, listen, it was amazing to look at, but I was like, why are they having such a hard time? Because they're both such advanced Jedis.
Yeah.
Like in Empire Strikes Back, when Luke goes to get trained by Yoda, it is an enormous struggle for him to raise the X-Wing.
Yeah.
And you really feel like he can't do it.
Yeah.
So when he does, it's enormous. Whereas Rey is already like, look at all these rocks. Woo!
Yeah.
So she's like super powerful right away. And he's crazy powerful too.
Yeah.
Which they show. And like he just wiped out fucking Snoke. Like, drop. A Jedi mind tricked you, motherfucker.
Yeah.
And then the Crimson Guard shows up and like they almost fucking take care of shit. I was a little like, wow, they're really having a hard time. The two most powerful people in this fucking movie are really struggling with these henchmen. Yeah.
Oh, anyway,
maybe they're Sith proteges. Yeah, maybe they're like, you know. So that's what I thought. I'm like, that must be that.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you know.
Yeah.
Those are dynamite henchmen.
Yeah.
Anyway. That was just a little thing. I didn't dislike the scene at all. But later I was like, man, they had a hard time with those guys.
Well, we can bring Casey back now.
I'll go get Casey.
Okay.
I think we'll that's it. Because we're going to talk more about it when he sees it.
Yeah.
I have no idea what will.
I'm so excited.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, I'll go get him.
We're back.
Yeah.
Casey has returned.
Hello.
I just watched Star Wars.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. I can't.
Can't wait to hear Casey's thoughts.
I know. Seriously.
On this motion picture.
I loved it. I thought it was great.
Sweet. Yeah. So you just heard us talk about The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
And now you're going to hear some thoughts about some Christmas films.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A deuce of them.
Yeah. So you couldn't find one of them.
I couldn't find Battle of the Bulbs.
Which is a two-hour movie, so understandable.
Two-hour movie.
It's too big to fit online anywhere.
90 minutes long.
Yeah.
Yeah. I couldn't find it. I looked for it. Then I didn't look as hard, and I said, oh, fuck it.
Yeah.
I'll watch something else. So I'll start with the first one I watched.
I wonder how many of our listeners were clamoring for Battle of the Bulbs.
And now I'm pretty sure the first one I watched was called Naughty or Nice. Naughty and Nice?
Yeah.
Naughty and Nice, starring Hayley Duff.
Yeah.
Which I watched quite a while ago now.
Yeah.
And I barely remember. It was terrible. It's some TV movie kind of shit. So she is a radio host. She's very nice.
Sure.
Yeah. He is a radio host from the big city, and he is not very nice. He's you would say, naughty.
Almost.
Yeah, and he has some terrible show where there's all this really awkward, like, radio guy improvising and stuff, and he's doing bits, and I'm like, God. I wish I was dead.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
And he does some bit. I don't remember what. He does something stupid on air. He makes fun of somebody or some shit like that. And
check out this idiot.
And so then they are like, like, you can't say that on the radio. You've got to go to a small town.
We banish you to
That's what they do. Now he's got to go be on the radio with super nice Haley Duff.
It's the FCC for you.
Yeah. And listen, let me tell you, all the conflict in this movie stops there.
Oh, man.
You think there's going to be this long period where he's, like, mean to her and stuff, and she warms him over. He just kind of shows up, and she's really nice, and he kind of likes her, and they just have, like, a time together, and it's, like, insanely boring.
Wow.
They just, like, do stuff and have, like, a dumb radio show that you have to watch.
Oh, God.
And there's, like...
Well, there's really nothing more visual than a radio show.
Yeah. There's, like, whimsical music behind everything, like, like, over every dialogue scene.
Wonderful.
Constant, like, you know, you're having a nice time, aren't you, watching this movie? Christmas and stuff. That's the best stuff we could get.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Did you say this is the best duff we could get?
This is the best duff we could get, okay?
Second-rate movie, second-rate duff.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was bad. And then they fall in love.
Okay. I was going to say, it sounds like it was. It should have been like, oh, we hate each other, and then now we love each other. That sounds like what you would expect.
Yeah, but they don't ever really hate each other. Okay. It's just like, this is nice. Anyway. So, couldn't find Battle of the Bulbs.
Instead,
I watched a different Christmas film.
Yes, and one that is on Netflix.
It is on Netflix. Yes. And I urge.
I was going to say, and one that I feel like has flown under the radar a little bit.
I am stunned.
Because it's got a fucking cast.
It is a huge cast. So, this movie, a movie called Noel from 2004, starring Susan Sarandon, Penelope Cruz, Paul Walker, Alan Arkin.
R.A.P.
You got Daniel Sunjata, who's like a big name from the Rescue Me TV show.
Yes.
It's directed by Chaz Palminteri, who is also in it.
I couldn't place him for the longest time until I finally IMDb'd it, and I was like, oh, yeah, because I watched like four seasons of Rescue Me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Chaz Palminteri was on Rescue Me?
No, the guy from Rescue Me.
And a few other people pop up. Anyway, so, but yeah, there's names in this fucking thing.
And so I watched a little bit of it.
I was watching it. I'm like, I'm watching this, and it is fucked. So this came out in 2004, and I don't know why this isn't more renowned as the best, worst, most confusing Christmas movie ever.
It is because
it's one of these like five stories in New York, people coming together at Christmas looking for a miracle.
Yeah.
So,
but the stories are so
insane. So Susan Sarandon's story is like, she needs to get laid.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of confusing haircuts in this movie. Her friend with the confusing haircut's like, you should totally fuck What's-His-Face and rescue me.
Yeah.
And she's like, he's young and whatever. And he's like, he wouldn't. He's like, maybe he will. And then it's like Christmas Eve. And she's like, hey, let's go out to dinner tonight. And he's like, all right, let's do it. So they go out to dinner to like eat and fuck. And then when he's like, let's go fuck, she's like, no. And then he's like, you suck. And he leaves. And so then she spends the movie wandering around like, I could get laid.
Where is all the dick?
And she meets Robin Williams. And he's like maybe an angel.
Yeah, he's like one of those. He's just like kind of popping up, and you're like, what's going on?
And then he starts saying stuff because her mom's in a coma, and she's like, your mom says, hey. It's like, you weren't talking to my mom. He's like, listen, I got stuff I can do.
Yeah.
And so that's all weird. So like, he's an angel. I don't know what's going on. Then you've got Paul Walker, who is going to marry Penelope Cruz, but he's a super jealous cop.
Yeah.
And he beats up people if they do stuff.
If he comes home and sees them like hanging out together, he's gonna beat her up. Him up. But then it's like, I'm not gonna sleep with your wife because I'm gay. Why'd you beat me
up? This is what happens. Yeah, he comes in and so there's a guy in the house.
Actual line of dialogue.
Straight up, it is.
I'm pretty gay. Why'd you beat me up?
Yeah, he basically says like, dude. Yeah. I'm gay.
I'll solve this right now. You know why? I'm gay. And storms out. And this movie is really... Okay, so Paul Walker comes in. That guy's there with Penelope Cruz. And she's like, hey, hi, look, surprise. And he's like, bam! And shoves this guy to the ground.
Surprise.
What's this guy doing here? And she's like, this is your surprise for Christmas. Like, what do you mean? It's like, he's a tree decorator.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Surprise.
Surprise, tough New York cop who beats everyone up. He got a tree decorated.
He put ornaments on a tree.
Yeah.
Can you fucking believe it? I've never seen like a tree decorated where I went, how did they do that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, if there was somebody sitting in my living room with my wife and I came home, I'd be like, who's this guy? And then she'd be like, he's a tree decorator. And then I'd beat him up. a tree decorator.
One of the wildest things in this movie, though, is at the beginning of the movie, there's this guy who keeps going to the ER.
Right.
And he's like,
When's your Christmas party
at the ER? And they're like, who are you? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
And he just keeps like inquiring about the ER emergency room.
And this guy is a terrible actor.
No good.
He is a remarkably bad actor. And with all the talent that's in this movie, I'm like, what is this guy doing here?
Yeah.
Because he doesn't look like an actor either.
No.
He's just got some guy. And he can't wait to find out about the
party.
The emergency room Christmas party.
Yeah.
More on that later. So
that's the best part of the movie.
I was hoping that wouldn't pay off at all.
Oh, no. So Paul Walker and his partner go to a diner. His police partner, not his fiance.
Right.
And they're sitting there, and Alan Arkin's the waiter, and he is just staring at Paul Walker.
Oh, I forgot about this.
He's staring at him and stuff, and Paul Walker's
God.
He's looking at me. And the guy and his partner's like, yeah, you're right. The guy's like totally looking at you.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm from New York.
Listen, it's 100%
like that. Yeah.
And then Alan Arkin comes up and he's like, here's rum butter cookies. They're your favorite, right?
Yes.
You know,
rum butter.
Rum
and
butter.
Paul Walker's like, yeah, they are. He's like, I knew it. And walks away and smiles at him. He's like waiting for him to eat it.
Yeah.
And then he's like, that guy like is totally freaking in love with you. And Paul Walker's like, whatever, guy. And whatever. He's like, I ain't gay. Yeah, I'm not gay. And he's like, maybe he's looking at me, though. Hey, you think that he's looking at you? Because I think he's looking at me. Guys, look at me. Yeah. And they argue for literally 2 minutes about which one of them gets more attention from men.
Yeah.
It's super
weird.
It's
so weird.
Really weird.
And then doesn't Paul Walker go over and he's like, stop fucking looking at me,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, totally. And gets all weird with him. And then runs into him again on the street and he's like, let's hang out. And
I thought a lot about it. Look at me.
Yeah. He's like, I got to
do give you look.
Paul Walker's thing is like, I got to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah.
Guy staring at me in a restaurant. So he like brings him up to his apartment.
Yeah.
And they're
Come
talking
on
for a second. And then Alan Arkin's like,
beats him up.
And you're like, Alan Arkin's like, I love you. And Paul Walker's like, hey, I'm not gay. And he's like, no, it's not that.
Yeah.
You're my dead wife. Reincarnated, and I'm in love with you still, and I missed you. I brought you your favorite cookies.
Yeah.
And then he freaks out and throws him out and stuff like that. And this kid, but then he goes outside.
He's like, wait
Paul
a
Walker,
minute. You didn't want to fuck me? Get out of my apartment. And
then he bumps into he's out on the street going, no, but you're my wife. And Paul Walker's like, bam, and pushes him down. Then he has a heart attack and he goes to the hospital. So Paul Walker goes to the hospital with him. Anyway, the hospital guy who's been like, hey, when's your emergency room Christmas party? He's talking to a buddy of his in a diner, and he's like, where's your friend Arkansas or whatever? He's got some kind of like, named after a state. I don't remember what. And he's like, well, you know, he does stuff, but you got to play it cool when we get there. And so he's like, "All right, I'll play
this
it cool."
This is so funny. I watched like half the movie, and then I read the what happened in the movie because I wanted to know, and then I had to go back and skim through just to see it for myself.
Yeah. And so he takes him to this place. He's like, "All right, I'm going to take you over to see Massachusetts here, whatever the fucking guy's name is."
And hey, Rhode Island, where you going? Oh,
I gotta know. Hold on,
Bobby, Detroit over
here. Yeah, yeah.
But it's built up as this thing, like, you know,
Arizona.
Yeah. This is like a shady deal.
Yeah. Like he's gonna buy some drugs or some craziness, and so
at
he takes
the ER Christmas party.
No. This is just the guy who wants to go to the ER Christmas party. Talks to his friend who knows shady people because he wants to get something done. You don't know what.
Oh,
and then he's like, "I'll take you to see Arizona, but you got to play it cool, man." He's like, "Hey, man, I play it cool." And so they go there, and it's like he takes him to the movie theater, like the theater that's in like Escape from New York. It's like a rundown, spooky theater.
Yeah.
And goes in to see Arizona, who's Chaz Palminteri with long hair, and he's like, "Hey, I'm fucking Chaz Palminteri. You've been waiting for this, right?" Because he turns around and they're like, "Oh yeah,
here I am.
It's Chaz. Yeah. Hey, what's up?" And so he's like, "Hey, Arizona," and he's like, "Yeah." He's like, "I hear you break people's hands." He's like, "Yeah."
Yeah. "I hear you're the guy who breaks people's hands for money.
Yeah. And he's like, "I sure do." And he's like, "All right. Well, so if I pay to break some hands, you will?" He's like, "Yep." "So who is it? I'll go break their hands." He's like, "Well, it's me. I want you to break my hands." And Chaz Palminteri looks at him like, Anyway, then later he shows up with broken hands.
Yeah.
He did it. And you never see Chaz Palminteri again.
Yeah.
I thought there was going to be some kind of like thing with him, some stuff. No. So he got his hands. When he was this guy, wanted his hands broken, when he was a little kid, his stepdad broke his nose and he went to the hospital on New Year, on Christmas.
Yeah.
And they were having a fun time, 1950s. Christmas party in the emergency room, and it was the best Christmas he ever had. So
he needs to get back there.
He needs to get back there
by paying someone to break his hands.
What the fuck are you talking about?
It's fucked.
Oh, man, my brain almost just broke right now.
I know.
What kind of leap in logic?
And
who can't, what are you talking about?
Who can't find a way to get hurt themselves?
Yeah, break your own fucking hand.
Get a hammer or fucking drop
just
yourself down
go
the
to
stairs.
The hospital. And then he gets there and there's no party. And he freaks out. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And then Paul Walker's in the hospital and he's looking at Alan Arkin in a coma and he's like, "Made my ass wife." But then this really weird actor shows up. He's super weird and he's like, "I'm his son." And Paul Walker's like, "Oh, I'm his friend."
I'm
and
your
then
mom.
He sees, "What did you get me for Christmas, you little shit?" And the weird actor who's playing the son, he's like, "Oh, okay, well, I'll take it from here." And Paul Walker's like, "Cool, I'm just a friend." He's like, Did he tell you you were my mom?" He does this every year.
All right, that is straight up awesome. That paid off big time.
Oh, my God. Oh. Susan Sarandon finally finds a doctor to bang. Robin Williams continues being an angel.
Yeah.
Oh, it was the craziest Christmas movie I've ever seen.
It's something.
You listen, next year, this is what you watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds great. Everything has been spoiled for me, and yet I feel like I would get so much out of it.
Yeah, I am glazing over it.
Yeah.
There's a lot more that goes down.
And it's like the dialogue is all bad in that fun, bad, awful way.
Oh,
like, it's not like...
Everything is awkward.
Yeah.
Everything. And the tone is weird. It's all over the place. Oh, amazing.
Like, I did, like, get bored with it and stop it in the middle, but then when I read all that stuff, I was like, well, now I have to see,
like,
how this...
I almost bailed on this, too, but then it was just like, I gotta pick something else. We'll just...
Because
it's a bad movie. This will fill my void of what I need to watch.
Totally.
Holy fuck. Yeah, mind completely blown. I have not seen something this out of control I guess since that, what was that, Winter's something?
Pottersville?
No. The one with Winter's Colin
Tale?
Farrell.
Oh, Winter's Tale. Yeah.
Which is
yeah.
maybe more insane.
Right.
I don't know.
Will Smith is the
But
devil.
I feel like yeah. that's your, if you want to go double down yeah. on a fucking crazy Christmas adventure, you watch those movies back to back, and then you try and tell me you know something about Christmas.
Yeah.
I used to think I knew something about Christmas.
No, you're going to have a, you guys haven't seen that yet still, have you?
No.
Winter's Tale?
I've seen the gif of him.
You said that like it's on my agenda.
It should be. It was insane.
I've seen the gif of him becoming the demon.
Sure.
That's funny.
That's a confusing movie.
Yeah.
That was a weird time. I had no idea
what you're getting into.
What that was going to be when I went and saw that in the fucking theater by myself.
Wonderful.
So,
Punishment album.
Yes, sir.
I gave you guys an album.
Yes.
A long time ago.
Right.
It's an album for kids of Earth. It's an alien rap
I feel like
album.
For everyone. It's for everyone.
For alien kids. Yeah. Alien rap album that I found on YouTube that did end up being on Spotify.
Actually, you know what? No, I'm wrong. It isn't for everyone. The lyrics actually state that it's for the kids.
Yeah, this is for the kids.
That's right.
So I said last week that this was going to be fun because it really is a very particular thing.
I just watched the gif of Will Smith becoming the scary demon.
Mm-hmm.
It scared me. It genuinely scared me a little.
So I'm excited to hear what you guys have to say about alien kids, alien rap.
Yeah.
Because it's like a guy pressed the demo song on a couple different keyboards and then made some alien music.
He also learned how to play guitar yesterday.
Yes.
So he does some of that. Okay.
Mm.
Like, cards on the table. I thought this was great.
I loved this album.
Yeah? I know.
Yep.
It's such a particular thing that somebody
made. It's insane.
It's completely insane, but the message is wonderful.
Wonderful. So this album, it does have a nice message about how to achieve your dreams and have a nice functioning society.
When you're
also,
in school, you shouldn't pay attention to anything except for the things that interest you.
Yeah.
Because everything else is some bullshit.
That's right.
And if you can't pay attention to it, it's because it sucks.
The rest of the album is about food.
Different types of alien fries.
And
like,
you might
most
think
of the album is about food.
You might think the method of ingestion for food would be through the mouth.
No.
This goes on a little farther south.
Yeah.
And I was like, please be the butt.
I was certain it was going to be. And then when it wasn't, I was like, why am I disappointed?
I wasn't because I'm like, if it's not going to be the butt, you should at least rub it on your tummy.
Yeah.
Well, that's what it is.
And I was like, hey, what are you talking about?
Yeah. I will say, to clarify, the album is called Alien Rap, : Songs About Life on Planet Glump. And the album is by Alien Kids, is the name of the artist.
That's right. Now,
and this is from 2007.
When you listen to this and you hear a song that you realize that there's going to be a song called How to Make an Alien Shake.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, there might be metaphor. Maybe it's a little dance. Or they, like, have, like, a fun little thing about it. This is 4 minutes of instruction.
There's a lot of that. This is really involved.
There are many steps to making an alien shake. It takes 4 minutes to tell you what it is.
Yeah.
There's no repetition to the directions here.
No.
These are specific, long, thought-out directions, and all of the food songs are like this.
Yeah.
How to make an alien
burger.
Instruction.
How to make alien ice cream.
Which isn't just like, oh, you freeze a thing and you mix it with that and there you go. You got to get this particular kind of tree. You got to grow it for a long time. It goes up into the clouds where no pollution is allowed. You got to trim all this stuff.
Alien
you got to boil it, then you got to mix
really
it with this
good.
Stuff. Yeah.
Alien ice cream comes from alien wood.
That's right.
And at this point, I was like, this guy is the king of rhymes, first of all.
My favorite thing is that the first song is My Best Friend Is of an Alien Who Visits Me at Night.
Yeah.
And then you get a song called Alien Food about all the different foods.
Right.
And then you're like, okay, every song on this is going to be like a different topic. And then they follow up Alien Food with like 6 minutes of how to make alien fries. You're like, okay, yeah. Alien
and
friends and food.
And none of it is like loose metaphor stuff. It is all like very specific instructions.
Yeah.
I love the song that's in their own language, which is he is just going like, bleep, blop.
Yeah. That one disappointed me because I was like, look, your rhymes are so good.
Yeah.
But like, this is just the filler.
I just love that that song is called an alien song, parenthesis, in their own language, exclamation point, glumfish.
Yeah, yeah. Glumfish. And I guess, I mean, it's a very Arrested Development thing where when you start listening to it, it's like, well, I don't know what I was expecting.
Yeah.
I guess this is it. And
I thought you meant the band. I thought you meant this really reminded me of Arrested
This is like a very golden age hip hop
guy. It's like Mr. Wendell.
Yeah, I can really see that old man dancing.
Yeah, I think this is about the weirdest. If you were to just put this on, like not say anything and just put this on, like if you're driving somewhere with someone, like, oh, could you drop me off at someone? Yeah, sure, hop in.
Yeah.
And just play it in your car. Like,
I really want someone to, like, at a party where there's like, you can like pop on the Spotify and pick something, just put it on and see what happens.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Everyone share this album everywhere.
And by the end of the party, everyone would be like, I got to achieve my dreams.
Yeah.
Guys, what am I doing in this fucking job?
Yeah. The thing is, so this album is released by some company called Creative Kids Productions CDs.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the other CDs are like Mozart for Young Minds, music by Young Mozart.
Wow.
Like the great horn.
We're not getting through to the kids.
Stampede. Sleepy Time
music
Mozart.
By Mozart.
Yeah. Yeah.
Beautiful songs by Bach.
All the alien rap.
Alien rap by a mental patient.
I like to think that somebody at that company was like, I'm going to break out of the mold here. Listen, I have an idea for an album. Just let me go with it and let's put it out.
Yeah.
Like this was somebody's chance.
If I can do this in a weekend,
will you
put
release
it out?
It?
Yes.
Yes, indeed.
Wonderful.
Unreal.
Alien Rap by Alien Kids is one of the most special albums you will ever hear.
Yep.
And I found it, like, the weird thing is, it's not listenable necessarily, but I never really wanted to turn it off.
No, absolutely
because
not.
I was like,
it was really easy to go back to.
Yeah, and I didn't, like, I was like, I'll never play this for my kids necessarily.
No.
But I will take the message of this.
Yeah.
Like, because the overarching message is A, alien food is crazy.
Yeah.
And B, that you'll never truly be happy unless you find the things that interest you and cultivate those interests.
Yes.
And that when you find those things, practicing them and learning them isn't a chore. It's fun and interesting.
Right.
Naturally.
Yes.
And I'm like, that's such a specific message and such an important message.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And such a wonderful message couched in this fucking insanity.
Oh, man.
So good.
Yeah.
Yep.
I really enjoyed listening.
Just
wonderful.
Yeah.
So, Greg.
Yep.
What are you going to give to us?
A record.
All right.
Tracks.
So, I've been listening to the radio.
All right.
At work.
So great.
Yeah.
Fuck. Nothing starts well like...
No.
Did you hear this popular song
that
is awful?
I was on some really weird... Not really weird. Just really crummy, soft rock station that was filled with, like, two radio personalities
who
got everything wrong. They were talking about the Golden Globes. And they were, like, talking about Frances McDormand.
Oh, wow.
And they were, like, mispronouncing everything. And then there was a quick sports recap where they got stuff from that wrong, too. I'm like, what is happening here?
Yeah.
And their songs
you're back on. I'm, like, back in with the soft rock.
I got no problems with soft rock. And maybe you won't either. Because I didn't know this band still did things. But do you remember Sweet Hitmaker's Train?
Oh.
The Drops of Jupiter fellas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Listen,
they're...
they've got an album called A Girl, A Bottle, A Boat.
Oh, fuck off.
Wow.
Fuck you.
From 2017 was a fine year for music. filled with great playlists that were created by people all over Modern Superior. Dan made a nice one.
Yours
I made one.
Is great.
Thanks. Yours is wonderful, too. I listened to it a lot while I was in Jamaica.
Wonderful.
So...
I'm not
I
happy.
I heard they have a song. It's track two on their Abyss. A Girl, A Bottle, A Boat by Trent.
Fuck.
Called Play That Song that I was like...
Oh, that sounds like a
and
great
And the sweet
song.
Shit is going on here.
That song is... exceptionally terrible.
Yeah, you
have
know
you heard it?
It?
Oh, absolutely.
Why do you
know I
know
it. You have no idea how many. I mean, because we listen to hits of today at the office.
Oh.
I know all of the hits.
Oh, that's
of
why
today.
You would hear this. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I
heard that song somewhere else too. Mm. It's
when you went and listened to this album because you were stoked for the new Train album.
Because I was like, Train album. Woo woo! All aboard!
I gotta hop a train to get there.
Yeah. Does this song have Soul Sister on it? Or this
is
album?
That Soul Sister?
Is that? I don't know if that's a new or an old song.
No, no. It's got something called Drink Up and Working Girl. And What Good Is Saturday?
What?
Fuck off.
Fuck off.
What good is Saturday?
What good is... Let's get rid of it.
Yeah, man. Fuck Saturday.
Yeah.
You know who else can eat a dick? Sunday.
Oh, don't get me started on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. I know, right? Fuck that guy.
Well, oh my God.
I don't want this.
Oh, no.
What?
Nothing. I'll tell you later.
The running time?
No, I found something.
Oh, bully.
I was just scanning through. I got lost in a little...
Yeah. A little scrolly little, scroll.
Yeah. I landed. I went through a portal here.
Okay.
And I discovered something horrifying that I can't wait to give to you guys.
Oh,
anyway,
God.
Yeah.
listening to, because I listen to so much of the hits of today, kind of thing, and they play a lot of. I hear. What are they called? Magic member? Is that?
Yeah.
Why are you gonna be so rude?
Good. I'm glad that's hung around to haunt you.
I know so many of their songs so
you
well.
You giving
now.
Us that album sucked, but I'm tasting my own bitter pill. Where I hear that fucking RX song by Theory lot. Mm. It is a big hit for them.
Well, good for them.
Oh, good for Toad.
What the fuck? But I also hear a lot of what's that guy?
Shawn Mendes.
What's that guy?
Who?
That Mendes.
Shawn
kid?
Mendes.
I can't describe to you how much I fucking hate that guy.
Yeah.
How much I fucking hate that guy.
Yeah.
But no, the other guy, he's a little...
Little Muppet?
Yeah, the little Muppet.
Oh, Sheeran.
Oh,
Ed
God.
Sheeran.
I hate Ed Sheeran.
Kling, 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 kling. That one song starts like that? Fuck that song.
Like, that's his sex jam. God damn
I don't
it,
like
I hate
going to
so
the
much.
Club, but I sit in a pub, and I am a nice guy, and but, I didn't go to school.
That's the thing.
Fucking do
I have
it.
This other guy that's very much in line with, as soon as I lose, you're getting this guy. Because it's very much in line with that. Like, it's just, I'm just a nice little fella, and I'm singing songs. I'm a nice little fella on this radio. I'm unassuming. I'm very non-threatening. I'm a nice little fella. Look at my little toque.
Good God.
Well, I'm not excited to see this fucking album and listen to it.
No, I think it's going to be great. Because these guys are wonderfully misguided.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And this seems like a weird... direction they're trying to force themselves into.
Yeah.
Anyway, enjoy Train.
I won't.
I will.
Or maybe I will.
Yeah.
So now it's time to roll.
That's right.
So this week, Paddington 2 comes out, and man, I can't wait to see Paddington 2.
Yay, me,
delightful
me also.
First film. This one's getting pretty good reviews from what I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This one has Brendan Gleeson in it.
Yeah.
Oh, he's wonderful.
Great cast. Yep. So we're going to have a delightful time, hopefully, with that.
Yep.
So we were trying to think of...
live-action people and...
Animated characters.
Or whatever.
Or effects, special effect characters in live-action films is how we tied this together.
That's right.
And Greg saw this on his wall of VHS.
I own this on VHS, directed by Stan Winston.
Yeah.
Well, how could it go wrong?
I know.
Starring Anthony Michael Hall.
And a Norm.
Yeah, in the adventures of a gnome named Norm.
Yeah. A gnome named Gnorm.
Yeah. I feel like we've talked about a gnome.
Yeah. Gnorm. It's a.
It's about time we dive into it for real.
Yeah. And so, I have the VHS tape right here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, this is I've never seen this with sound. I've seen it with no sound
the
old bar.
It onto the bar.
And I've listened to it without video.
Yes. Yeah. Because I thought
it'll
why
be
not?
Interesting
I
to
have the
audio book. It's read by Campbell Scott.
No. Oh, sorry. It's The Adventures of a Gnome Named Norm.
Yeah.
So wonderful.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Greg rolls Why first. Not? That's a five.
That's a strong roll.
I'm going to roll here, and that's a six.
Oh.
Oh, boy.
Casey.
Oh.
Five and a six. This could be a tie. That's two.
A two.
That's a two.
Casey's going to watch Gnome Named Norm.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Do you have a VCR?
No.
Oh, okay. All right, then.
I don't, but I'm sure I can find a good
Probably.
One.
Probably.
Yeah. So next week we will talk about a Gnome Named Norm. We will talk about Paddington 2, and we will talk about an album by Train.
Yep.
What else are we going to talk about? Those are the three.
Things.
Those are the main things.
Yeah. Probably are.
Some other stuff will be fun. Yeah, I'm a dick. thank you for listening. You can find us online at SYNWPC on Facebook and Twitter. Hit us up at info@modernsuperior.com. Let us know what you thought of The Last Jedi and our thoughts on The Last Jedi. Mm-hmm. Let us know.
As usual, I will be avoiding the Slack channel at all costs.
Don't go on that spoiler alert.
Yep.
Unless you've seen the movie and want to donate $2 so you can get into the Slack and chat about the movie and lots of other fun stuff. And it'll be great. And so that's our episode. We will see you next Wednesday. As always, goodbye, Internet. And Will Smith is the devil.
Yeah.
Scarier than you think.
This episode has been brought to you by the Modern Superior Podcast Network.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.